The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. It's great to be with all of you today. This is episode 442, dated Monday, May 11th, 2026. And before we continue, allow me to introduce the panel members that we have thus far. We have Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena. It's 83 and sunny, and it's a beautiful spring day. We don't have any May gray or June gloom, so it's a fine day and doing well. Watching the Lakers go down to their expected 4-0 defeat, as I predicted, and thank goodness basketball season's about over.
We are. About 60 to 65, partly sunny, rained overnight. Typical spring weather. It's going to be rainy for the latter part of the week, but beautiful tomorrow and part of Wednesday. Don Wardlow.
Yeah, it's similar to what you have. I'm in Jersey, only a couple hundred miles away from you.
All right. And Reverend Michael Garrett.
Yes, and a welcome from Missouri City, Texas. It is about 83 degrees, overcast, you know, the sun is trying to peek out and its winds are calm. We're expecting rain here, which we really need a lot of, but not too much at once.
Is Peter Altschul here yet?
Peter is here.
Hi, Peter. What's going on?
Yeah, same weather as Mitch, but about 20 degrees colder. 65 degrees, beautiful day, very windy, which is typical for Coos Bay this time of year. We could use some more rain as well, but this is no longer the rainy season, so we probably won't get it. But you never know. Sometimes strange things happen. So, but we're doing fine here.
Luther King is still recuperating from his medical issues. We don't know when he'll be back, but I'm sure that when we do know, we will definitely let everybody else know what's going on with him. Let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do for us. It is greatly appreciated. Also, the media sources. Thank you for airing us when you do. That's most appreciated. Peter from Canada. Thank you for posting our programs on your chat boards. We appreciate that as well. And finally, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving our podcasts on my website. To find them, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on them, and you'll see most of our archives from latest to earliest. And as Peter would like...
Merci, Jackie. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. Let me say hi to our host, Trish. Thank you very much for hosting our show today, along with Brad, who is our streamer. And because we are being streamed, let me give out my email address for those people who wish to write to us with comments about the show and about sports in general. That is bobbranco93@gmail.com, B-O-B-B-R-A-N-C-O @gmail.com. Well, we're all over the place today, so we can start wherever you would like. I mean, Mitch, you mentioned something about the Lakers. Can't hurt to start there, I suppose.
Well, I didn't think they'd get through the first round. They got, you know, Oklahoma City is the best team in the NBA. Whoever they play from the East, they'll take them out in five or six. What's interesting, and I haven't listened to a lot of sports talk, but I've heard two different shows. Basically, I wouldn't say they're trashing Austin Reeves, but what they're saying is, and they're probably accurate, is it's hard to build a championship team around two guys who are good to excellent scorers, but can't play defense. And so the talk on one of the shows I was listening to, they were basically saying they gotta build a team where the other players play defense or move Reeves along for, you know, whatever they can get for him, and they'd, I'm sure, get somebody pretty good. But despite all the scoring in the NBA, when you get to the playoffs, people actually do play defense, and Oklahoma City has run roughshod over the Lakers in the three games, and I don't expect much different tonight. So,
well, from what I gather, Marcus Smart is known for his defense, unless he's mellowed out a little bit. I don't know.
He has had his ups and downs, but Oklahoma City has five guys who can score. Smart is only one guy who can play defense. LeBron just can't play defense anymore, and he was never a great defender, but he uses all his energy to play offense. And DeAndre Ayton and Rui Hachimura, you know, they don't play much defense, if any at all. So that's the issue. The Lakers, you know, if they really seriously want to get past the first or second round, they gotta bring in some guys who can actually block shots, protect the rim, and can at least slow down the other team's best shooter.
What interests me about the three games that I have monitored sort of from afar is that the games were pretty close, at least through the second quarter, maybe even through the third quarter, and then the Thunder just blew them away in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure what that means. It might be a matter of conditioning. But you know, the Lakers could keep up with them for three quarters. And then
The Lakers led the second game I listened to into the fourth quarter. Lakers led at halftime 58-57.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City in the third quarter ran them ragged. I think they outscored them by 17 or 18 points in the third quarter. That's what Oklahoma City does.
Yeah.
The other thing is that they have a much younger team than the Lakers.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with it too.
They're deep. They're very deep. You know, their bench runs 10 deep at least. And
yep.
So they can hit you different combinations. They can rest their players, and if SGA is not having a good night, someone else will pick up the slack.
He didn't play well in this series at all. You know,
SGA was on the bench.
Yeah.
During that second game, third quarter, when they ran off and hit, he wasn't even in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree.
Now, on a broader spectrum, before the divisional competition ends, why isn't Minnesota? Why aren't they falling? They're playing. They're actually playing San Antonio.
And what's your question, Michael?
Why is Minnesota still hanging around?
Well, when Aubameyama, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong.
We call him Wemby.
Wemby Yama. Wemby, thank you, Bob and Michael. When he gets thrown out for elbowing somebody, they're going to lose. I mean, they had an 8-point lead before that happened in the fourth quarter, and he got thrown out. And, and the other thing is that San Antonio is a young team. And less playoff experience. And Minnesota, for all their challenges, have been the playoffs for several years and have done pretty well for themselves, even though they never made the finals. I think San Antonio will ultimately win. And then I think they'll be the real championship, San Antonio and
Oklahoma City.
And Oklahoma City.
That's what I've been saying. However, though, Peter and guys, the Knicks look awfully strong.
The Knicks give people fits.
Huh?
The Knicks give people fits.
Yeah. Is there a chance that we could see a pretty good matchup in the
NBA Finals?
Well, I'm going
to
give you
lucky
my
to win. They'll be lucky to win two games, New York. New York's inconsistent.
So I don't want to, like, totally trash what the Knicks are doing because they played very well since the game three against Atlanta. But you got to remember who they played in the most recent round, the Philadelphia. Yes, Philadelphia beat the Celtics, but they came into the Knicks series, I think, spent, exhausted. Some of their players were hurt. The Knicks, did what they should have done. They should have beaten the seventh seeded team. I didn't think they would win four games, but they did, to their credit. They haven't played anybody really good yet. And we'll see what happens with the Detroit-Cleveland series. I assume Detroit will find a way to win the series, but I'm not convinced of that yet. And the Knicks had some trouble beating Detroit during the regular season. So I'm not sure they'll be get by Detroit, but but you never know. And the thing with the Knicks, it's kind of like the Celtics. The Knicks won the game yesterday because they hit 25 3-point shots. 25, that's a lot of 3-point shooting. What happens if they miss some of those shots? We know what happened to the Celtics, much to my sadness, because I kind of like the Celtics, although I'm a Knicks fan first. I'm not sure that the Knicks will see. But I agree with Mitch. If they do get by Detroit or Cleveland, I don't see how they can compete with Oklahoma City or San Antonio for that matter.
Yeah, and one more thing about San Antonio, if memory serves, and I don't remember how the series ended up, but San Antonio, because it was newsworthy, beat Oklahoma City the first two games of their, I assume, a four-game.
They won three out of four, Mitch.
So they won three out of four. Well, yeah. Maybe they do have a puncher's chance.
They might.
I think Oklahoma City's going to beat them out.
I think so, too. But Wemby's a wild card. What do you do, like, in game two, like, game three, like, 42 points and 15 rebounds or something? I mean, the guy is amazing.
By the way, he did not get suspended. There was talk that foul might result in a one-game suspension, and the story is that they're not going to – they're wimping out because it's the playoffs, so playoffs. He's not getting a suspension.
They let them. They do let them play.
Yep.
A little more in the playoffs,
but
in terms of Wemby, I think they're going to run two or three different guys at him. They don't want Chet Holmgren to get in foul trouble. Trying to guard him. So I think they'll run two or three different guys at him. There were times last year when Holmgren didn't start because of the way they wanted to defend the opposite team's big men, and he eventually came in the game, but I can see them doing some creative defense on Wemby.
Well, they did a pretty good job during the season. I know the season isn't the playoffs, but, they were able to win three out of four games. So, I assume Oklahoma City will win, if for no other reason, because they'll be better rested. Cause San Antonio's got to play at least two more games. I'm assuming, as Mitch is, that the Lakers will find a way to lose again, tonight. and that will sort of be the end of the Lakers. I want to say a fond farewell to the 76ers and the Flyers. They both got knocked. So last week it was Boston being humiliated. This week it's Philadelphia being humiliated. I like Boston. Philadelphia, it couldn't be a better day for me to see the two winter teams get knocked out. Especially by the Knicks.
You're
the Flyers
spoken like a moment. New York, spoken like a New York homer.
Yes, that's correct. Spoken like a true New Yorker. Well, but I do have this weird attachment to Boston as well.
That sounds weird.
It is weird. I won't go into detail.
A New Yorker.
New York, I'm a Boston. Well, I lived in Boston for several years and, So I'm sort of torn. The one New York team that I absolutely despise are the Yankees. But otherwise, I kind of like both teams, both cities teams. I'll root for New York first. But if Boston does well, I will root for the Celtics, and I'll root for the Red Sox, and I'll root for the Bruins.
Just don't ever say that in a bar in New York.
No.
Don't ever say you've got some loyalty to Boston.
No, no.
You will not, will not get out of there alive.
Well, the same thing applies to Boston bars as well. So,
that's true too. That's true too. Speaking of Boston, Bob.
Yes.
Boston is losing, its edge in one way. When we were on our, when Garrett's and us were on our trip a couple of years ago, I took a couple of opportunities to have lobster rolls. Donna, my wife, was at a girls' day shopping excursion last week. And out in the part of L.A. where I grew up, out in what's called the San Fernando Valley, and the restaurant she went to, they served lobster roll.
Ooh.
They do it either cold or hot. And I'm thinking, Boston is losing part of its tradition. Other parts of the country are serving lobster roll. What's going on?
Well, it's a New England tradition because they serve them in Maine and New Hampshire and
we had it in Maine. We did.
And Cape Cod, of course.
It's sneaking out of the area.
Yeah. Well, I guess lobsters are sneaking out of the area too. I don't know what's going on, but lobster rolls are delicious. They don't have them out here in Coos Bay, although they might. I haven't found a restaurant with lobster rolls. I do found restaurants here. This is, of course, very sports related, that serve, fried clams and fried oysters and that kind of good stuff used to only be in New England.
Well, I had to mention it to Bob because I said, lobster roll out in the valley. Well, okay.
Next, Peter, you'll tell me there's good pizza in Oregon, which I'll find extremely hard to believe.
It's not as good as New York pizza.
Never.
It's not as good as New York pizza.
Doubt it ever will be.
New York pizza.
We should talk about pizza sometime, Don. I had a place that I went to in New York City near Greenwich Village a long time ago that may or may not still be there. We'll have to talk about that sometime.
Another great sports topic.
I want to get it back to sports here a little bit. And mention one of Mitch's pet peeves.
I have many.
Neil, the transfer portal.
Yep, that's one.
Yes.
So I saw an article today that talked about position pay scales for football players. And I don't remember the each position scale, but what I do remember, just about all of the positions were $1 million or more. Now, high school kids, okay, even high school kids coming out of high school, they have agents, and the colleges have general managers. So, for instance, there's one kid that supposedly is leaning toward Texas, and it all comes down to who's going to pay him more, And the one article I saw about him last week said, "Is he going to the real UT or what?" So it really boils down to who's paying him more. And the staff at Texas includes a general manager whose job, I guess, is to figure out how much to pay each student.
And Michael, so, USC hired a general manager a year ago, which is probably a good thing because, I'm not the biggest fan of Lincoln Riley's, but that's what most of the big schools are doing. And, the problem is Everybody cites Indiana as a school that benefited from the transfer portal and NIL.
Right.
What they don't seem to get is that those two things will benefit the top four conferences in the country.
Right.
And the other conferences are going to suffer. No one who believes they have any kind of serious talent, which means 90% of the kids who go play college football, because they all think that they've all been had their egos boosted by their coaches in high school.
Right.
They're going to only go to those schools where they think they have a chance at going to the pros and getting money, and that means the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. But I wonder how this ties in, if at all, because they're expanding the college football is both football and basketball are expanding the number of teams in their playoffs. Apparently, either it's going to happen or it's happened already.
Basketball's already
76, right?
Yeah.
And
I don't think the football
is talking about between 16
they're still
and 24.
Talking.
Yeah.
They're still talking about, but I've heard 16 or 24 for football.
Right.
Right. 16 I can tolerate, 24 I have a lot more trouble with.
Now, how is the 76 in basketball going to work? Because now you've got the four play-in games, and then you have the 16.
Now be 12.
Oh.
There will be 12 play-in games to cut it down from 76 to 64. I take it back. 60, they're going to be down to 64. There'll be six play-in games, 12 teams.
Get
it from 76 to 64, yeah.
The only good thing you can have 76 of is trombones. Not basketball games in the NCAA.
Well, actually, Mitch, if you have six play-in games, that means only six teams can be eliminated. So wouldn't it be?
That's right. I take it. I was right the first time.
Yeah, you're right.
It's
going to
be 12.
Time.
Yeah. They're going to take teams 53 through 76, and they'll play against each other. So that'll cut it down from 76 to 64.
That'll probably take an extra week.
The only marginally good thing is that'll get it away from my birthday. So, I don't like to not be home on the day of the Final Four. Like I wasn't home this year because it was not only my birthday, it was Easter Sunday. But other than that, I really think 64 is plenty and maybe too many, especially on the women's side.
Yeah, especially, it's true on the women's side, especially. That's right.
It's really getting too big. But when you're talking about dollars, when you start talking about dollars, that's the big draw, I believe.
Especially on the women's side, are they going to make money from those games? I don't think so.
Well, in the Midwest and the South and the Southeast, where women's college basketball is a big deal.
I was going to say, Don, I think that the women's sports has started to draw attention because you've got some of these young ladies who are pretty good at what they do, and they're getting some fannies in the seats and eyeballs on the tube and everything.
The difference, as I see it, is that the talent among women just isn't as scattered, or there's as much of it in women's basketball.
It's going. It's getting better.
It's getting better. Yeah, it absolutely is getting better. I mean, this Sweet 16 for the women's basketball this year was primarily really good. All the games were pretty close, most of them. And, of course, the championship game, of course, was not a very good game, but that was a.
By the way, I did get some good news a few weeks ago. I didn't think she'd come back, but Juju is coming back to USC. Sophomore year. Yeah, I did hear that. And I'm thinking, and they've got apparently a good recruiting class. So, USC might actually pass UCLA this year because UCLA lost, four starters. But Juju's coming back.
Eight people, the way I heard it.
Yeah, so I'm real happy.
that's going to be some fun. I was sure she was going either overseas or WNBA, one or the other. I did not think, because she full years before she got hurt, and then she lost a full year because she was hurt. So I guess she still has 2 years of eligibility.
I'm sure this will be her last year if she can get back to her previous form, but we'll take it a year at a time. The other good news is I'm one of the few USC basketball fans out here. Elijah Arenas originally said he was leaving, which Kevin and I totally expected. Yeah. And 2 days later, he changed his mind and said he's coming back. So we're going to have Elijah. Although the team may need 3 basketballs because Rodney Rice, who was injured most of last year, as was Arenas, is coming back. And they're both shoot-first swingmen or wingmen, actually. So it should be interesting. Basketball, college basketball out here should be interesting this coming up year.
I've heard good things about USC football, too, this year, Mitch. I heard somebody...
To be Lincoln's make-or-break year. Everybody has been very patient. I haven't been, but I go back to John McKay and John Robinson, so I'm kind of spoiled. But supposedly, this was Lincoln's best recruiting class. I haven't heard quite as much about the transfer portal, but this is supposed to be the year for Lincoln Riley, and if he disappoints, then they'll probably be showing him the door. But this is supposed to be a excellent year for USC football, yeah.
I wonder if they play Oregon this year.
Yes, I believe we will be playing the other 3 West Coast schools every year, I believe.
Oh, okay. Did they play USC? Yeah, they did.
Last year. And the SC Oregon game was up there last year. My brother-in-law and I have tickets for 4 games, and Oregon and Washington are 2 of them.
Well, Oregon does have our starting quarterback this year, from last year.
Yep, he decided to stay for another year.
Oregon was not supposed to be that good last year, and they did pretty well for themselves. So we're hoping for a similar result.
I want to bring up Major League Baseball. A friend of mine made a very interesting assessment, and I'm not sure if he's right or wrong.
Bob?
Yes?
Before you do that, I want to do my rant,
the one that I've been looking forward to, of course.
Well, I don't know if it's worth looking forward to, but I do want to, because I think this will probably tie into the upcoming baseball discussion that we will have. So if folks don't mind, I'm going to get on my smaller soapbox than Mitch, but still sizable. So after one of our more recent sports roundtable shows, I went out to talk to my wife, Carrie, and she said, "I have some great news." I said, "What's that?" She said, "My oldest son won the lottery." I said, "Oh wow. What did they win?" Well, they got a chance to buy Savannah Banana tickets. That's Banana Ball. And so they bought the tickets, and the 5 of them, I can't go because they only could buy 5 tickets. And so they're all going to the Savannah Banana baseball game in late June, and they're like totally psyched about it. Now, for those who don't know, Banana Ball
is... I can't help laughing.
It is.
Go ahead.
Banana Where are they going to play? Is fake. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters, as it were, very talented people playing the sport, but it's a fake. It's a fake activity. So they're going to this game. They're going to have a great time. And here's the punchline. Nobody cares about the real game. Nobody. The only person I know here who cares about real baseball, is a friend of Carrie's who is a, Seattle Mariners fan. So that's the first part of the rant. The second part of the rant is listening to ESPN radio, which, as you all know, I listen to a lot of. There's very little talk about baseball on ESPN radio, but there's lots of talk about professional wrestling. Lots of talk. They interview professional wrestlers for some major professional wrestler acting spree, whatever. And again, professional wrestlers are really good athletes, but that competition is also fake. No talk about baseball. And be it known that there was one game, Don, you can help me with this, where one guy robbed three different players of home runs in the same game. Not a mention on ESPN radio at all. Just professional wrestling.
Actually, I missed that one. I don't know when it would have happened.
It happened about a month ago, I think it was, and I heard about it. It was not quite that long ago.
I forget who the guy was, but I heard replays of all three games at 2:30 in the morning on ESPN on their Sports Center all night. They did all three of the home run catches.
But it was an amazing thing on, so it was covered. I heard about it on ESPN Radio's counter of sports, what do they call it, late night sports, whatever they call it. And no talk about it on the thing. Instead, they talked about professional wrestling. They interviewed three or four of the major stars. And I couldn't help think that baseball, when we were all growing up, baseball was ruled the universe.
Of course.
It absolutely did.
Are your friends going to Savannah, or where is the game?
Savannah's touring. They're coming to Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
But there was a lottery. You know, you could just buy the tickets. You had to win the lottery.
Can I give one example of how crazy Savannah Banana is?
Yeah,
one of the rules, if a batter hits a pop foul ball that clears the net and goes into the seats and a fan catches it cleanly, the batter is out.
Wow.
Really?
And you know, guys,
if
you want to learn more about this, please don't read the rest of the book. But the book I'm going to suggest to you is called Make Me Commissioner, and it's by Jane Levy. And the best chapter of the book, without a question, is the chapter about the Savannah Bananas. The rest of it is trollop.
Mitch, careful, because Manfred might suggest that for MLB. Fan catches the ball, batters out.
Well, I was just going to say, Jane Levy is the woman who wrote the Sandy Koufax biography that I loved so dearly.
Yes, that was a good book by her, but this one I really didn't like. She really did a job on a favorite of mine, Mickey Mantle. That was a terrible book.
Yeah.
But if you read only one chapter of Make Me Commissioner, read that one about the Savannah Bananas. It's fascinating.
There are lots of videos on YouTube about the rules and and lots of whatever. And there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. We all know that John Sterling died, last week. And during the, early morning sports show, which starts here at 3 a.m, one of the women who was, broke into tears about how wonderful John Sterling was. And of course he was toward the end of his life, and how it influenced the way she watched baseball and, what a big deal it was for her. And it was a really moving tribute to John, but here's the punchline. They almost never talk about baseball on ESPN radio. They seem to prefer talking about pro wrestling. And it just
tell you why, Peter.
Well, I know why. The answer is because baseball is a regional sport.
No, let me tell you why wrestling is getting so bloody much attention.
Go ahead.
You ought to look at the ratings.
I know.
The ratings are And you don't want to get me started on it. What passes for entertainment among the average citizen? But the reality is that wrestling gets amazing ratings. It shouldn't, but it does. And so I won't say wrestling, which everybody knows is fake. It's acting. They're not only good athletes, they're decent actors.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've got personalities, starting with Hulk Hogan back in the day. But it's entertaining, and people find it entertaining, and they follow their quote unquote heroes. And I hate to say this, I don't know for fact, but it may be more popular ratings wise than your average baseball game these days. I'll give baseball game.
I'll give you another example. Just a few weeks ago, our beat baseball team went to Vegas and played in a tournament, and we won the tournament, by the way.
Yay!
But,
all right. Congratulations.
But the coach, my coach and his son stayed over, because that Sunday night, that was the big wrestling to do. And they paid almost $1,000 per seat.
Amazing.
That's ridiculous.
To go along with what Mitch is saying about ratings, they're making in the money. They're pulling in the money.
There they are.
Yeah.
And I did have my wrestling time. My favorite wrestler, without a doubt, was Andre the Giant. Absolutely loved that guy. And later on, when I was injured, I spent a month in an inpatient rehab place for my back. And my roommate was a former wrestler by the name of Pedro Morales. And if he was not feeling too poorly, he would regale me with tales about Andre the Giant, Bruno Sammartino, and unlike baseball players who I've talked to, and the more you talk to them, you know, the better they were, the farther their home runs flew. This guy, in a month, we were roommates a month, he didn't tell me one-tenth of what he could have told me, and I checked it when I got out. I wanted to see, you know, how much of what he told me was real, and it was, and he didn't even hardly get started. He had a nice trick. If he didn't like somebody, he was a guy named Pedro Morales. He had a heavy accent, and I don't talk about him. If it was a guy... He wouldn't say something bad, but I don't talk about him, but just get him going on Bruno or Andre or Bob Backlund, and
Don,
you're with him for the night unless he started feeling bad.
Don, do you have cable TV at home?
I'm actually getting rid of it. Unfortunately, got too expensive.
There is a show that we watch from time to time. It isn't always on, but it's we've seen many of the episodes because we've also gone and looked for the shows that have been that are stored. The show is called Autopsy.
Okay.
It's an hour long, and it goes in, this forensic doctor goes through and analyzes why a person died. Did they really die for the reasons that were popular in the media? And one of his autopsy shows is on Andre the Giant. I have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But before you get rid of it, see if your cable carrier has a show called Autopsy, mm-hmm. and see if you can find Andre the Giant.
That would be amazing. And I, of course, I liked the Hulk. I liked Sammartino as a broadcaster. Now, I didn't get in until he was done wrestling, but he was a fine broadcaster. And these guys are all dead now. Hulk is gone. Andre's gone. Sammartino's gone. Albano's gone.
Well, I go back to the days of Freddie Blassie.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he
gorgeous George?
Wasn't Freddie crazy?
Oh, he actually did a song. I used to listen to Dr. Demento.
Oh, yeah.
Pencil Neck
Sunday
Deep.
Nights.
Yep.
And Freddie Blassie did a song. Had a song that Demento used to play.
Oh, yeah. Almost every week it'd be on the Funny Five.
I just want to wrap up my rant, which,
oh, okay. Sorry.
Which basically, I mean, I've said pretty much everything I wanted to say, but it is sort of a commentary about how far baseball has dropped in our lifetime. You know, yes, it is a regional sport. And yes, you know, there are huge fans in various parts of the country. But for many of us in other parts of the country, it is a non-entity. You know, yep. The Savannah Bananas get are lots of excitement. The regular thing gets none. And, you know, thinking back to basketball, right, there are always advertisements for the Harlem Globetrotters. But it didn't detract from the NBA version, you know, when I was growing up. And it just shows how much trouble baseball is in for, you know, as far as much of the country. Regionally, it's doing great. And in certain communities, it's doing great. But if it's going to, you know, continue its ways, it's going to have to do something because.
This is a segue what I was going to say. A friend of mine, and after I make this comment, I'm going to turn it over to our participants. But a friend of mine was assessing baseball. And if you notice, the American League right now is worse than the National League. Would you believe that there are only three teams, to my knowledge, three in the American League with records above 500?
Yes, I heard this from my brother-in-law just yesterday.
And As of a couple of days ago, the last place teams, the worst teams in baseball are only, well, the worst teams in the American League are only three games behind the wild card. That tells me something. But my friend thinks that a lot of this has to do with too much science in the game. GMs are depending on computer projections when they build their rosters. That's not right.
It's not going to change. We have to just, what's the old line, love it or leave it.
The three teams in the American League right now who are above 500 are the Yankees, the Rays, and would you believe the Athletics are 21 and 19 and they're in first?
National League, it's Atlanta, St. Louis, Chicago, San Diego, and L.A.
And how about San Francisco? How about Tony Vitello? How much does he want to go back to coaching in the SEC with the Mets that he's got? And the Mets are just as bad. They're both about 15 and 25.
I hear that San Francisco's about to make a fire sale.
All I can say is the Dodgers have lost 12 of our last 21, including 2 out of 3 to Atlanta. We've got a 4-game series coming up this week against San Francisco, so Vitello better stay where he is. Yeah, well, we better at least win 3. All of our guys are in slumps at the same time. Yeah, we're tied for first with the Padres.
I thought you were half game.
I think we're both 24-16.
As long as they don't get rid of John Miller. That's the one guy on the Giants I'd hang on to.
And he had a nice tribute, by the way, to John Sterling the other day. I was listening to part of the Giant game. He had nice things to say about Sterling.
I would have liked to hear that.
Yeah. So let's turn it over to our participants. I'm sure people would like to talk to us about what's ever on their minds. So let me have Trish tell us if there are any hands raised at this particular time here on Sports Roundtable.
We actually have two, and the first one is Joe Marks.
From Philly. Oh, I wonder if he's going to share Peter's sentiments about that. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Rough weekend in Philly. First time history was made. First time two of our teams were eliminated on the same weekend from the playoffs, Flyers and the Sixers, both from sweeps. So that sucked. But I wanted to answer Peter's rant. So part of the reason why wrestling is being talked about on ESPN so much is because the WWE actually signed this multi-billion dollar. Well, actually, let me back that up. TKO, who owns UFC and WWE, signed a multi-billion dollar contract with ESPN. So ESPN right now, because they're trying to make back what they purchased, is just, you know, running it ad nauseum so that they can get more people, because believe it or not, yeah, wrestling is popular and, you know, it is making money, but in some ways it may not be making back the billions of dollars that some of the people that it's one of the reasons why Vince McMahon had to sell the company, because he was losing money versus still sustaining money.
Just to respond, you're right, of course. But I would just point out that ESPN, at least the radio and maybe the TV, still does baseball games. They still cover them.
They do a good job broadcasting.
They do. They're very good broadcasters. But on their other shows, you hardly ever hear about, you know, those games. They don't talk about them.
Now, there's a theory I heard about a year or two ago, and maybe it's spot on, maybe it's not. I'll leave it up to you guys to determine. I think part of the reason why baseball and maybe even some other sports like NHL, NBA, stuff like that gets kind of not mentioned or popularized as much as like WWE. Some guys that are wrestlers in WWE are more popular, like The Rock and stuff like that. In baseball, you got Shohei Ohtani, you got Aaron Judge, and then there's like a big drop off. Like some of the guys that are the gurus, like all of us here, like we know some of the guys that are in the league. But in the popular, like the person that doesn't follow baseball quite as often, there isn't that like superstar like there used to be, like the Mark McGuire's, the Barry Bonds, the Sammy Sosa's, the Mickey Mantle's, the Joe DiMaggio's, people like that, to kind of stand out and kind of carry the mantle for MLB. I just wanted to see what all your takes were on that.
And I think part of the reason for that is they don't talk about baseball. I mean, you know, in football and basketball, they know who the stars are because they talk about them all the time. They, meaning the sports broadcasters. I'm not saying they make the stars, but they sure make it easier for the stars to be noticed. And I think that's part of the problem. So that's my take on that.
Do you think baseball has a marketing problem?
I do.
The problem too is why do people love basketball? They love slam dunks up and down the court, 3-point shots. In baseball, it's home run.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, granted the game is shorter because of the pitch clock, which, and by the way, Bob, when you were talking about analytics and all that and the crazy rule, Savannah Banana rule, I remember as kids, they used to play four strikes and you're out, or four foul balls and you're out. That could come to Major League Baseball. You foul the ball off four times, you're out. That would shorten the game, too.
Yeah, it sure would.
Well, right now, isn't the intentional walk just issued without you throwing four pitches?
Correct. Yes.
That's new.
Yeah.
Well, that
makes people
sense.
Are into things that are fun and fast.
I think that's one of the reasons why the Savannah Bananas is successful, because it makes the viewing of it more interactive, more fun, for the audience. And I think that's the main reason why people go. It's like Peter said earlier, it's not that they go there to see who's winning and who's losing. It's that they're there to be entertained. Whereas baseball, they are kind of teetering on that. They're kind of one foot in, one foot out of what's entertainment, what's, you know, sports, what's competition. I know that they had talked about it, and I found it ridiculous. They haven't implemented it yet, but I'm sure it's still on the table. It's called the Golden Bat Rule, which means you after the seventh inning, a manager can choose to bring a player up in the order to the bat. So
I heard about this.
So if Bryce Harper batted in the previous inning and you wanted him, it's the bottom of the ninth, two outs, and he's not up for another, you know, five or six more spots, you can use the Golden Bat Rule to bring him back up to the plate.
And Fred, I hope you're not listening to the show. I like fans to listen. I hope you're not listening to this one.
I agree with Joe on that superstar thing. You know, you go around each roster. You know, there's no personalities and superstars on a lot of these teams anymore. You know, you got the Judges and you got the Shoheis, but it used to be every team you had somebody that stood out, and we don't see enough of that.
The other piece to that, and it just may be my age, but even as recently as 10, 15 years ago, I could name the starting lineups for most, if not all, of the teams in the National League. And I've never followed the American League as much. But I could name you, I knew the starting lineups, the typical starting lineups of every team in the National League. The Dodgers just got through playing the Cardinals. They got through playing Miami. They got through playing Atlanta. There were guys there I'd never heard of on all of those three teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Exactly.
But part of that, Mitch, again, is the lack of coverage.
Yeah.
It's not all
that's
of it.
Some of it. I get it.
I think if they, it kind of goes back to something Michael was saying, like if they had more personality, I think it would be easier for people to cover them. Like if there were more controversial or, you know, swagger, I go back to like guys like Ken Griffey Jr., who was like, it was nuanced for him to like come to batting practice with a hat turned backwards. You know, it's like that wasn't done. You know, it's different things like that. I'm all about, you know, the idea of, you know, how to market the sport a little bit better. Before I go, wanted to just say, give a shout out to Bob. My team versus your team starting tomorrow, Boston versus Philly. So, we'll run it back again.
Joe, before you disappear.
Ranger Suarez is going to face you guys.
I know.
You know, you're
Ranger former. Danger.
Joe, before you disappear, I was really surprised about how poorly the Phillies are playing. I mean, I know they've gotten better over the past couple of weeks. What's up with them?
I think, you know, the writing was on the wall when Don Mattingly got hired. And I kind of said it on my show about a year or so ago, when they had the collapse, against the Mets. I said that Rob Thompson's not long for this job. And when they had Preston Mattingly as their general manager, I'm like, why isn't he giving his dad a call? Like at this point. And so when they brought Don Mattingly in the beginning of this season, I said, well, there's the writing on the wall. I'm basically saying that this is going to be the end of Rob Thompson. It's just a matter of how soon or how late.
That's an interesting dynamic. You've got the father as manager and the son as general manager.
Right.
That's a very interesting dynamic, in my opinion.
Gentlemen,
could any of you work
around
for your son?
We do. We do have another hand, guys.
I know. Thank you. Joe, just finish your thought about the Phillies, if you don't mind. I'm really curious.
Go ahead.
System UI. Free notifications. Out of list.
Oh,
go ahead.
We hear some noise.
No, I want to hear your thoughts on the Phillies.
I think with Don Mattingly, it's a new voice. And I think it's the same dynamic as it was when Ralph Thompson took over. It's how can they sustain the success? I think that they will, but I think it's really going to – they still need to make moves. Alec Baum's having a good 2 or 3 game slot, but he needs to get traded. Cause that's just not working. But yeah, I think that they're going to get better. They have a chance of making the wild card. So we'll see.
Like say the New York Mets.
All right, Joe. Terrible. Well, thanks
thank you,
very
Joe.
Much. And, Trish, who's next?
Next we have Troy.
Troy.
Hi guys. Holy. How's it going?
Hey, your Timberwolves are still alive and well, Troy.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I wanted to keep the baseball discussion going here for a minute, but one thing I want to point out about the teams, the Cincinnati Reds, I learned this yesterday. They have won 15 of their wins against American League teams. 15 of their, I guess it's a 23 wins or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
23. I think, you know, it's too early in the season and the, fact that most of the, American League, teams are below 500. I don't think that's going to be, sticking for the, rest of the season. And then the Minnesota Twins, they finally won their first series since they beat the Boston Red Sox back in April. So they finally won, 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. It took them over 3 weeks, I guess, 3 weeks to, finally, win a, series. And then, are you guys still here?
Yes.
We're still here.
Go right ahead, Troy.
Okay. I don't think the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to ultimately beat the Spurs in the
highly unlikely.
No. In fact, I know they won game one last Monday, but when they lost games two and three, I was like, this series is going to be over. But then, of course, Wimby falls out in the second quarter last night, and that allowed the Timberwolves to a win. And so, you know, you just never know, but I don't think they're going to be going on to the Western Conference Finals.
I don't either.
Well, it's San Antonio and OKC.
Yep, that's what it's going to be. I mean, the Minnesota Wild are still alive in the playoffs. I don't know much about it, but they have a important game four tonight. They're down 2-1 to the Avalanche. The Wild actually did win Saturday night. I don't remember what the score was, but,
yep.
So I don't know if things are looking up here in Minnesota, I would say.
Well, we've got a lot to look forward to.
I'm curious what the Vikings are going to do next year with, that's a really interesting thing with the quarterback situation, especially because they should be a better team than they were last year, but their quarterback, is not great. But now they've got somebody else and we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, we'll see.
I just read in my pro football website, it is going to be a wide open competition.
You might be right, because I don't know if I don't know if they would have been bringing these veterans if they were counting on J.J. McCarthy to be there in the starter next fall. You know,
they're going to get equal chances to lead the team from what I'm hearing, Troy.
Yeah, because they brought back Carson Wentz. They brought back, they signed traded for Murray or whatever his name is.
He was free agent. It was a free agent signing.
Yeah. Yep.
It's going to be Murray and McCarthy.
Murray's a flake.
For one.
I hate to say this, but Murray really is a flake and,
gets injured a lot too.
You know,
yeah, you did.
And maybe, it'll be a deal where they have, they don't necessarily have a set starting quarterback going into the start of a regular season. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, I'm sure it's happened where, NFL team, they don't have a set starting quarterback. You know, they might have one favorite, but they don't, they're not going to say he's going to be starting every game, you know.
They better find a quarterback, Troy, because they just signed, theoretically be their third receiver, Juwan Jennings. They've got three really good receivers. They better have somebody who can throw them the ball.
Yeah, well, we shall see.
Troy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Troy.
And it looks like we're going to wrap up. Thanks very much for a great show. And, Peter, finally, we got to give you a rant. I was very curious for a couple of weeks. Finally, we heard it. Very interesting. Thanks, everyone, and we will see you all next week. Go safe with God.
Bye, guys.
Take care, everyone.
Audio Journal is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Are you a senior who is dealing with vision loss? Would you like to learn about advocacy efforts on behalf of seniors who are blind? And about support calls, where you can talk with other seniors who are also dealing with vision loss. If so, join us, the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. To learn more, visit our website, www.aavl-blind-seniors.org. www.vision.org.